time is 7:48. We are about to chat to Ilanit Chernik. Ilanit, a very, very good morning to you. How are you?
Good, thank you. Good morning, Howard.
Nice to chat to you. Nice to speak to you. What a big week in Israel. Wow. Naftali Bennett almost made it into parliament. Israel almost landed on the moon. You know, Gantz was almost prime minister for a short while. It was really a week of near misses, wasn't it?
It was very close. It was quite a crazy week that we had here. As you can imagine, I haven't had much sleep
over
the last
week.
But yeah, I mean, with Bereshit, a lot of people very sad that we didn't make it to the moon, but at the same time, there's like a crazy amount of pride that we actually
got
that far.
Absolutely.
And I mean, you know, there's only three countries in the entire world who have actually made it to a landing on the moon, you know, China, USA, and Russia. So, you know, to have made it 22 kilometers from the moon and to have been able to have taken a picture 22 kilometers from the moon, and then to, you know, we actually kind of made it because we may have crashed, kind of landed on the moon. We just didn't land safely. So there is a satellite from Israel sitting on the moon,
but it's just
crashed.
But it might be in pieces. Absolutely. But I thought it was amazing. And I think it was Raline Marks or somebody tweeted yesterday when it happened, you know, this is the sign of the startup nation. If at first you don't succeed, you try again. And I loved that.
Exactly. And there's a huge amount of pride. I mean, a lot of people said that they were a little bit disappointed or whatever, but then there was a lot of people that said, this is incredible. I mean, for such a tiny nation to have made it this far is incredible. And to also, you know, to have gotten to this point, you know, it's not very often that you have Israel falling in the top four countries in the world that have made it almost made it to the moon. So, and you know, there's only seven countries in the world that have orbited the moon.
Right.
So it's an incredible feat. And you know, Bibi Netanyahu said last night that we'll, in 2 or 3 years' time, we'll try again, and it's not the end.
I have no doubt now that this is going to happen. Absolutely, if ever there was a resolve, you saw it last night. Ian sending me a message, one small schlep for mankind, one giant schlep for, one small schlep for man, one giant schlep for mankind. And, all right. Tell us about the election. First of all, this was your first election in Israel that you could vote for, when you could vote. Is that right?
Yes. It was very exciting. I have to say there was a very strong sense of pride. I wrote about it for the Jerusalem Post, and I was like very, you know, I was like looking forward to it for weeks and weeks. I was not sure who I was voting for. I was agonizing over it. I was like having like mildly sleepless nights over it. Like, who am I actually going to vote for? Because no one was like 100% appealing to me. And then I was like looking closer at each of the different parties. And then I've always been a very big fan of Ayla Shaked. I've always had a huge amount of respect for her. And the night before the elections, I kind of, you know, came to a decision. This is who I'm voting for. I'm not afraid to say it. And I was like, okay. I was like, let's just give it a go. It's my first elections. I was so excited. And so it was, I couldn't find my Tulat Sahut all the way there. My identity card, I was like looking all over. Like, I couldn't find it in my bag.
No.
I didn't know what had happened. And I was like, oh my gosh, like I've been looking forward to this for months and I'm not going to be able to vote because I can't find my ID card. My mom's probably thinking typical Ilanit.
You know, I tell you, everybody's mom is thinking so typical. So typical.
Exactly.
You know, I can tell you that my son is coming home from Israel for Pesach. He's on the flight at the moment. Yesterday he realized he hadn't renewed his 3-month visa in Israel. I said, Alex, and he's going to the airport now, another 3 months overdue. 6 months he's been there. And like, why? And it's every parent in the world just like, and that's exactly, you're walking trying to find your identity document. And, every parent is saying, just wow.
And I had like this group of women on the bus helping me like search the bag. Like these Israeli women, they're like, oh no, we have to get you to vote. You have to vote. It's your first time. You have to. And they'd be like speaking to me, like all bickering in Hebrew, like maybe we should try the front pocket. Maybe we should try the back pocket. Maybe we should try the side.
Oh, how
it was
wonderful.
Hysterical. So
wonderful.
Eventually we found it. That was the bottom line. And when I walked in, they look at your ad, like when you were first issued it, and they said, oh, first time. I said, yes. And everyone behind me in the line and everyone, like who was all the volunteers who were sitting, you know, checking all the passports and checking your name off and everything, they all started clapping and like wishing me Mazel Tov, and they said, Hatzlacha, and I went and I did it. And I walked back out and everyone just clapped and started whooping, and it was an amazing feeling. I just, you know, that doesn't happen usually in South Africa, to be honest.
Yeah, incredible.
And it was just an amazing feeling having all these people just like really like cheering me on to do it. And it was beautiful. It really, really was beautiful. And it's moments like that that make it so worth living here. That's what's so great about it.
Really, really awesome. So the issue is that the question that I wanted to ask you, and Tanya Currie raised it earlier. I was very unimpressed with Bibi Netanyahu's comments a week before the election about annexing West Bank and things like that, especially considering the bloke's been in power for that amount of time. Why would he try and be so divisive? I mean, he was like that the last election as well, talking about the Arab vote in a negative way. Was there any reaction to that? Because strangely, he seems to have been very almost, well, I don't think it was a comfortable win initially. It's only because of a coalition that he is so comfortable. But what's your thoughts on it?
It's not so stable at the moment. We don't know because the new right didn't make it in. We don't know if Yisrael Beyatenu is going to even say, you know, they've said they're not going to go in with Kahol V'Lavan, with the blue and white. But we don't know, you know, Lieberman and Netanyahu aren't on the best of terms at the moment. And we don't know if they're going to 100% say yes to going into a coalition with Bibi. So it's a little bit shaky. You know, had the new right made the threshold, we would have had a situation where they wouldn't have needed Yisrael Beyatenu. But, and Lieberman's party. But now we're kind of in a situation where we're not 100% sure what's gonna be. I mean, he'll make it. He'll make a coalition. But, you know, it would help to have had the new right in or to know for sure that Yisrael Beyatenu is gonna actually join in with them. Because we don't know.
Right,
we don't know,
right.
You know, they need the seats. That's the thing, is that kind of makes a little bit of a shaky coalition without Yisrael Beyatenu and without the new right. So hopefully we'll see in the next few days if Yisrael Beyatenu will actually join up with Bibi, but we're not sure.
But it's not looking positive at the moment. I mean, at some point yesterday it looked like that they would be in government, and now certainly it looks more like they won't be.
That's the thing. 100% it's not going to happen. I think the new right are out. I think it's an absolute shame because Ayala Shaked was an incredible justice minister.
So it's interesting. I happen to be a big fan of Ayala Shaked. I'm not a Naftali Bennett fan at all. I know a lot of people do like him. A lot of South Africans like him. I'm disappointed that she's not in government, because I do think that she brings a very, very, important voice, to government. And I don't think there's enough Israeli women ministers, and I think she was doing a very, very good job on that front as well.
She was, and it's going to be interesting to see who gets the position, you know, of justice minister, because you know, I'm not a huge Betzalel Smotrich fan either. I do like Rafi Peretz, but I'm not like, you know. It's going to be very interesting because she's got huge, you know, whoever takes her place has got huge shoes to fill, because she's done a very good job with the justice ministry, and she was reforming it. She was doing a very good job.
Yes.
You know, kind of change.
Look, I'm convinced she'll come back in another iteration. I'm not, I don't think it just, all this means is that the path isn't that straightforward. I don't think that it's going to be, I actually don't think it's going to be an issue. Where did Carolyn Glick lie with all of this?
So she was in I think she was position number 5 on the new right. So I think had they gotten in, had they passed that threshold, they would have only gotten 4 seats. So I'm not sure if she would have, you know, if they would have gone probably a little bit more than that, they would have gone 5 and she probably would have been in the Knesset.
So actually that's interesting, is that
passed the threshold, they would have been
4. Right. Okay. So she might, it's unlikely that she will be there in Knesset.
It's not going to be, because I mean, they haven't made it. They've already, last night they came out with kind of like the final numbers, and Likud had 36 and Blue and White at 35, and the new right didn't even make the threshold. They were 3.16%, I think it was, and they needed 3.25.
So it's so interesting, because it was such a well-known group, and yet a really, really poor showing.
It's very sad, and what's interesting is that Betzalel Smotrich, I think they kind of shot themselves in the foot. And Bezalel Smotrich said that on Wednesday morning. He said, you know, by them separating off from Bayit Yehudi and from the Union of Right-Wing Parties, they've ended up shooting themselves in the foot. He said, I hope that they'll end up coming into the Knesset. I hope that they'll end up making the threshold. But it was a mistake. It was a mistake that they split off. And, you know, unfortunately, I think it was. I'm not so sure we'll see Naftali Bennett in the next elections. I've got a very funny feeling that Ayelet Shaked's going to get an offer from Likud and she'll go back to Likud in the next elections.
I hope so, yeah.
But I'm not so sure. I'm not so sure we'll see Naftali Bennett in the next election.
And sorry, Clive asking if I may ask Howard, why don't you like Bennett? I actually found him to be very arrogant. Personally, it's a very personal view. I find him to be too arrogant. I find him to be not broad enough in his vision. And I'm not sure that he's done such a fantastic job either as Minister of Education. Ilanit, your view?
He hasn't. And I've spoken, you know, like as a person, he's a really, really nice person. I've met him a couple of times. He's a really, really, on a personal level, really nice guy, amazing guy. But from a ministerial position, from a power hungry position, he's not afraid to trample on everyone and anyone and get too ahead of himself. And this is, I think, what happened. He kind of got a bit too ahead of himself. He probably thought that he would get 5-6 seats in the Knesset straight away by splitting off. And he didn't. He messed up.
Yeah.
And I've dealt with him in the educational side of things as well, and he hasn't been such a great education minister. He really hasn't. There's parents in the special needs side of things who are very angry with him because he's put a whole bunch of rules and things through, which didn't really work very well for parents with special needs children and parents who are trying to mainstream their children who could actually do well in a mainstream situation. But were barred because of some of the rules that Bennett had put in. So not such a simple situation.
No, it isn't at all. Anne Sine says, I found it strange that my kids in the IDF were encouraged to call their parents to discuss who to vote for. I think that's absolutely wonderful. I think that's incredible that. And
it's brilliant.
Yeah, absolutely. And then also Anne Sine saying, Howie, who was the South African guy talking at the landing? That is that is Morris Kahn, who is a South African Israeli billionaire. He's a founder of Amdocs, and you know, you could hear the minute he started speaking Hebrew.
Yeah, there was
that South African accent. Absolutely loved it. It warmed my heart. Ilanit Chernik, keep doing what you're doing. You're making us proud here in South Africa. Ilanit was a journalist at the Star when we could still read the Star, and she is now at the J Post doing a fantastic job and making all of us back here very, very proud. Ilanit, you have a well-deserved break this weekend, this Shabbat. Have a Shabbat Shalom, and we'll talk to you as soon as another opportunity arises. It's 8:01.